I dare you to be yourself, to see yourself. I dare you. I dare you to free.
And welcome back to another episode of the Wabam Entertainment Podcast. I'm your host tonight, Katie Gelstrap. And with me tonight, I have Landon Bell.
The one and only.
Michael Thomas.
What's up, everybody?
And the host of the Audioverse Awards, special guest, Colin Kelly.
Hey, howdy, hey.
All right, so tonight we're here to talk about Daredevil. There will be fights, I'm fairly certain. We're 2-2 tonight. But first of all, I'm going to let Michael take it off with just a brief synopsis of what's happened so far with Daredevil.
Daredevil Season 1, it's basically the origin story. We have him wearing the classic black suit. He goes against the Kingpin. We learn about his past with his dad and how he loses his sight and his superpower, which is kind of like spider sense, which is weird, but anyway, that's Daredevil. Season 2 kicks things off in a little more interesting direction. We add the Punisher, who comes into town as an anti-hero. He sort of plays devil's advocate to Matt's Daredevil here. It also features Elektra. And Elektra plays a pretty big part in the Netflix universe because she goes on to also star in The Defenders alongside Matt Murdock.
That was like a very, very brief summary.
I'm actually impressed. I'm over here clapping because I cannot do summaries like that.
I know. I'm seriously impressed. Good job, Michael. Brownie points.
I haven't watched this show in 2 years.
All right.
All right, so do we start with the good or the bad?
I think let the good go first and then let the bad ruin it. Or do we let the bad go first and the good be like, focus on that? Or
I don't know. Knock, knock, let the devil in.
Let's go good, and then we go bad, and then we have debate.
Here's a question. Are we focusing specifically on both seasons then, or season one, and then we do that, and then we focus on season two?
Let's do season one and then season two.
Okay.
Now, they're kind of blurring together, honestly.
You just do both.
I don't know. I only like, watched half.
What's the best part about both seasons? Okay.
Best part about both seasons, I'll go first. My opinion is that it is Wilson Fisk. So in the first season, I loved how Wilson Fisk is basically... He fancies himself the hero. Now, he's not. He's very, very clearly not. He would have been the hero of the story if he had not made villainous decisions. And I don't know. I honestly, and this is controversial with some people, I honestly came away from that season thinking that that portrayal of the character is one of the best live action comic book villains that have been done. Other aspects of the season, you know, could have been done better, especially with Matt's character. I wasn't a big fan of the way the season ended. And same thing with season two. Like once you got to season two, I had a few issues there, but liked that. I also liked Ben Urich. His character was really cool, and then Karen Page is awesome. Foggy Nelson, you know, could have used a little more development, but you know, overall, I'm a big fan of the first season. I fancy it more or less a 13-hour movie.
Okay, so Colin, take it off with the bad. We're gonna go alternating instead of good and then bad and bad. So we're gonna go alternating. Yay!
All right. So as a whole, the worst part of the show entirely, I think, is Matt Murdock. And that's not Charlie Cox's fault. I think Charlie Cox is a fantastic actor. I loved him in Stardust. But when it comes down to it, I have the unique perspective of being the son of a lawyer and being very good at arguing and debating points of view is something I think is internal to being a lawyer, is presenting an argument, laying it up, and bringing it down. And Matt as a whole, I see him less of a character and more of a walking plot device. He's someone who's here to react to whatever's happening, but I don't never really connected with him in any ways. I never really saw him emotionally vulnerable in a way that made me root for him or see him as a protagonist. And my biggest argument for why I stopped watching Daredevil after, and like I'm not interested in season 3, is this scene in season 2 where it's him and the Punisher. Oops, sorry. I should not be a complete jerk and actually mute my phone. Sorry about that. The biggest problem I had... Yeah, I know. I'm a terrible human being. The biggest problem I had with... the reason I dropped Daredevil in its second season, and I'm not really interested in picking it up for a third season, is there's a rooftop scene between the Punisher and Daredevil, and you know, Punisher has Matt chained up, and the Punisher begins to present his worldview and what his arguments and belief on the world is. And this is perfect, like prime rib if you've got a lawyer in the room, because lawyers are great at dismantling arguments and breaking through and seeing what exactly are the arguments and premises. And when it comes down to it, Matt's given a perfect position to actually explain who he is, why he does it, and why he needs to be better than the Punisher. And he just doesn't have that. The show leaves us without him explaining, no, this is why there has to be a line between good and evil. This is why I'm a hero. This is why I'm the protagonist. And I think having seen the trailer for season 3, they're going to keep playing that up where Matt's going, maybe we, you know what, I'm breaking the vigilante rule. Maybe I need to break the no killing rule. So as a whole, I think Wilson Fisk is well acted. I think Vincent D'Onofrio does a wonderful job with him. I wouldn't say he's the greatest comic book villain, I guess. He's certainly up there, but I do think for what Marvel has to play with, or Marvel Studios has to play with, since they don't have access to some of their better villains like Doctor Doom, or you know, we've been milking Magneto for quite some time. I think he does an incredible performance, but even then, I think Fisk's plan and what he has going for him falls apart under scrutiny. And his entire plan to infiltrate and eliminate the criminal underground in order to raise funds to demolish city blocks really doesn't tie together between the mystery of, oh, don't talk about Wilson Fisk, don't talk about the Kingpin, and him pretty much going after a run for office in the first season. And I think bad, I really don't like the female characters in Daredevil. I don't think they have a lot of agency, even with Claire Page's character. Or the character of Claire Page. Sorry. I'm totally feeling on the spot now. Deborah Ann Woll's character, and just Rosario Dawson is a treat and she's a pleasure, and I'm glad that she has popped up in every other Netflix Marvel season, but I definitely feel like in Daredevil she's underutilized or doesn't have as much character as she does elsewhere. That's my bad. And I'm sure I have everyone pointing guns at me right now, because I'll be honest, I wasn't a fan of it in the first season, and I watched the second season and it was enough for me to be like, I'm good, guys.
Pew, 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 pew. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, Landon, I see how it is.
I mean, art is inherently subjective, okay? I will agree with that. But the reality is, when I look at a piece of art, I look at the writing first and foremost. And a lot of the Marvel, in general, Marvel Studios productions have great acting, but I find their writing not to be at the kind of par or level that I would expect them to be. So that might be an internal thing, but I expect more.
At Daredevil season one and season two, struggle from just about every single problem the other Marvel Netflix shows struggle with. The villains are always more interesting than the heroes, which is funny because in the movies, it's always the opposite. So it's kind of interesting how they sort of took characters like Kingpin and Punisher and made them like 10 times better characters compared to Daredevil. I can see why that wouldn't work for everybody, and especially when your main hero, his motivations aren't always there. I still don't really understand why Matt wants to be Daredevil. I get why he wants to be a lawyer, but I don't get why he's being Daredevil. So I totally get where you're coming from with that.
I don't know if we hit the debate portion of things, but I'm going over here going, yes, exactly. Because honestly, what a protagonist is supposed to drive the plot, right?
Yeah, exactly. A protagonist is supposed to drive the plot. And that's what Daredevil struggles with the most. It has way... I watched season one. I hated it. And then I tried to watch season two. And I got through like episode three. And I was like, nope, I'm done. I can't do it. So that's my story. But so season one, it struggles from focusing on too many characters. And so you have... And see, this is how much I hated it. You have the secondary lawyer on Matt Murdock's team. I can't remember his name.
Foggy Nelson.
Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties, everyone, so I apologize if this has been said already.
It's been a pretty crazy day. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Sorry. So, Foggy Nelson, they spent too much time on him, and... It's so weird because I'm like, this isn't the Foggy Nelson show. This is Daredevil, the Matt Murdock show. Like, I don't need to see Foggy Nelson so much. And then the female that they rescued in episode one of season one, I don't know who she was. I don't know why we cared about her. But she's a terrible character. The actress is... it's bad. And I just can't stand it. The best part of it is Fisk. I did like Fisk. But for me, and this is saying something because I know most people hated the Daredevil movie, I loved the Daredevil movie. It was so much better. The writing was better. The plot, not so much, but I mean, at least it had character and it focused on Daredevil.
In two podcasts, you slammed Tobey Maguire, and then you praised Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
Art is subjective, like Colin said, okay? I have very specific tastes. And also, the guy, Charlie Cox, I know you said he was a good actor, Colin, and I didn't know he was in Stardust because I really liked the Stardust movie, but he is terrible in the show. I don't like it.
I agree with that. I didn't even know he was in Stardust, actually, until we IMDb'd him and went, holy crap, that's Daredevil. He's so much better in that movie.
I love Stardust, but Charlie Cox is terrible in this show, and I don't like it.
Well, Annette, my question would be, is that the responsibility of the actor then? Because what he's working with, I feel, is more to blame. And I think that's the same thing for Debra Ann Woll and Karen Page. And you brought up Foggy Nelson, and Foggy, the moment he finds out that, oh, Matt is Daredevil, turns it, his character goes from being a person to being, you shouldn't be Daredevil anymore.
Well, and so I don't know if this says anything about me or what, but like, I thought Amazing Spider-Man 2 was terrible, but Andrew Garfield, he made it work, and like, he did phenomenal in that. So you work with what you have. Yes, that's true. But also there's something for an actor being able to come out of the role themselves and not necessarily come out of the role, but like make the writing better. Like or like put more emotion into it. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, I would agree with that. I think that's an idea. I have this fun. I love ideas versus execution. And that's really, you know, you start with the base level of good writing. A great actor can make that even better, but even a great actor can make mediocre writing sing.
Yep.
Just ask Marlon Brando.
See, I'd say that more of my problems came in the second season because that's kind of like the character of Elektra. Like, what is Elektra's philosophy? I don't think that I ever really understood that, except that she's just, you know, she's sort of like more rebellious, more edgy than Matt. But like, why is she who she is? And I don't think that the season really ever gave us the correct answers to that. The Punisher, I have been told that the first season of The Punisher is way better than his appearance in Daredevil. But
I mean, low bar.
That character did not click with me in season two. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, he's just a straight up villain. He's not, he had no redeemable hero qualities to him because he took the wrong choices. And I realized, you know, he's a war veteran and he just wanted revenge, but he didn't have the right reasons behind his revenge, I didn't think. And they tried to make it, you know, they tried to make it work and tried to make it justifiable because the general dude or whatever was the one who tried to kill him and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, for me, that didn't exactly work. Which then trickled back down to Matt because Matt's character throughout the entirety of season two is circling both of those characters. And when both of those characters are not developed to the degree that they really need to be, it doesn't reflect on Matt's character as well. So, you know, at the end of season two, we got that whole thing where he admits to Karen that he's Daredevil, and then it flashes away, and, you know, I never saw the Defenders, so I don't know what happens. But, you know.
I'm curious why you haven't seen the Defenders, actually, because of the people to get me to watch Daredevil, I think you were the strongest.
Well, I say I haven't watched the Defenders. I've seen the first episode, but that's it. I just never got the chance to watch the rest.
Defenders was actually better for me than Daredevil. It still struggled on the fact that they're like, it didn't get like the team cohesiveness out of the show, like Avengers or, well, I'm not going to say Justice League because Justice League didn't get in it either.
You know, we should probably refocus back to Daredevil because otherwise we'll be here for 5 hours on either of those three other things.
Okay. I'm the host. I should be doing this. You're right.
No worries.
Well, only reason I brought it up is just because I thought that of the first two seasons, season two was the weaker one. I thought season one was way stronger because in the character of Wilson Fisk and, well, Ben Urich and also Karen Page, you had three characters with really solid goals and trajectory. With Matt, like, there were things with Matt's character that could have been better, but I think it still worked. And I was hopeful that in season two it would be better. It wasn't. Season three almost looks like it's about to go where I wanted it to, but, you know, time will tell.
I mean, I kind of feel like we won, Katie, over here.
I know! They both said
it. Like, this is kind of weird. We were expecting more of a fight. Like,
Michael, save me!
Okay. I've been silent for like the last 8 minutes. The Punisher was the best thing to happen to Daredevil. I'm sorry. Punisher was a villain of season two. He wasn't an anti-hero, but that was the point. The idea of it was these clashing ideologies, and he won. He kind of broke Matt's psyche down to where now in season three, it looks like he's becoming more like the Punisher. that by itself was an interesting enough twist to make me want to come back for season three.
I actually agree with that, but I just still didn't. Like, the show wanted me to like the Punisher, and I didn't. I didn't like him. I thought he was terrible. And I don't understand why so many people are like, heck yeah, the Punisher, and they'll put the Punisher logo on their trucks, and they'll drive down the highway like they're real cool and stuff, and I don't get the Punisher love that some people have.
And I think it also depends on what your source and what kind of thing you like. Like, Punisher and Daredevil season two didn't speak to you, but it might be different for Punisher comic books or Punisher, or the actual Punisher show itself, or maybe the Punisher movies. All I think we had four like by now. Yeesh.
Point and you know I can realize comics being different than the live action material, but Punisher in live action has always been. Yeah, it's always elicited very strong reactions from people.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest problem I had, though, and like I get that Punisher won, but I feel like Matt didn't put up a fight. Like, he basically rolls over. He just is like, okay, I guess that's what you believe. Like, there's not even a chance to even argue or de-reason with him. I think the outcome of this season should have been the clashing ideologies changing each other, but Matt doesn't embody an ideology.
It's fair.
He wants to be Spider-Man, but he doesn't have the Uncle Ben to drive him.
He doesn't need Uncle Ben. He's got his own. Like, I got his entire backstory pretty quickly. Like, I think we put an overemphasis on superheroes and their origins, but the reality is, you really just need motivation and character. That's pretty much all you need for a good superhero.
But I mean, that's kind of what I mean, is Spider-Man has this motivation that was given to him by Uncle Ben. And Matt Murdock, his motivation is he doesn't like crime in his city, so he just goes and kicks him in the face.
But like, Spider-Man Homecoming doesn't go into the Uncle Ben's kind of stuff, and it still works with him being Spider-Man and him having personality and character. I mean, I understand, like, you need a motivation and you need a reason to put on a suit and go fight crime at night. But what you actually need more than anything else is a plan for why you're putting on the suit and what motivation is making that happen. So I think that's the biggest problem. Like, I think the entire superhero genre is more reactionary than it is proactive, where your protagonist is pretty much just reacting to whatever the villain's up to, or whatever the villain's planning, or whatever crime is going on around them. But they don't have an actual plan to how I'm going to help the city, how I'm going to make things better. And when they do, and it's well, it actually creates a better show. Like, Batman, usually in his origin, is fighting the mob bosses that have taken over Gotham City, and that's usually where the focus is. But and then the other stuff comes as a reaction to that. But Daredevil's mission and motivation was, all right, I'm going to put on a black suit and I'm going to punch people in a very long hallway scene. And, oh, hey, maybe I saved someone. But that's just treating a symptom. It's not treating a cause.
That is... That's actually a really strong takedown of the entire superhero genre in film. this is slightly getting off topic, but I think that's one reason Wonder Woman was so great at what it did, because it did not fall victim to that trap.
Hmm. Again, we could be here talking about every other superhero thing under the sun if we keep going down this rabbit hole, but in particular, if you're putting on a suit and you're fighting crime, that's not something you do just because, oh, it's my day job. I mean, that's unpaid, that's volunteer work, if anything. And you get a lot of hate press over it. You need a pretty strong reason to do so. And, like, Spider-Man as a whole grapples with that constantly, I feel. And, like, showing the effects and consequences of inaction is a great part of that. And Spider-Man 2... I think is one of the greatest superhero movies ever made because of that fact.
Spider-Man 2 sucked.
Ooh.
And with that, Landon and I win.
Katie, bar the door. anyways.
Like the last Superman movie, Superman Returns. You know, Lex Luthor has a plot. Superman reacts.
And because I haven't seen any of those movies, is there any more commentary on Daredevil?
Ooh, controversial opinion.
I have one thing to say.
Oh, go, Michael.
Katie needs to watch the Superman movies.
I'm working on it. I have DC Universe. I got
the Richard. The Richard Donner cut of Superman 2 is amazing. Lois is amazing. Cough, cough.
Smallville's better.
How do you know you haven't seen it yet?
We are focusing.
We are focusing, yes.
Focusing.
We'll cut all this out later.
Commentary on Daredevil.
Michael, you had a point you were saying?
My point was she needs to watch Superman movies.
Okay, that's fair. all right, unpopular opinion. I did not like Vanessa.
Okay, so Vanessa was terrible, and she held Fisk down that entire season. I can't stand her. He was better off without her.
My problem is she's another cardboard cutout, and with Fisk has all the agency, it felt like. And he existed for her to be like a piece of art that he collected, it felt like. And that just, that annoys me. I hate characters written like that, and I especially hate when it's a female character just put on a pedestal because they are.
Okay, so
anyways,
I agree.
To the promotional stuff.
No. We got to cover this. I agree that she is not as well developed as him, but I do not agree that he treated her like a work of art. Like, if anything, her philosophy about art is what drove his motivations. Now, again, you can make a very strong argument about, well, her character only existed to drive his motivations. And yeah, they could have done better there. But I don't think he treated her like a work of art. I think that the show just didn't give her enough development.
That's a fair point. I'd agree.
Which is where they failed, because they gave too many characters character development.
Or just the wrong characters character
development. My favorite
development.
Scene with Vanessa is when she first finds out that he is ruthless, like a ruthless murderer. And she still has fallen in love with this guy. It tells you a lot about her character, but at the same time, the show doesn't commit to actually showing us more about her.
Or actually giving her agency. She just shows up because she needs to show up. Like, it's not a motivation, it's just because the plot demanded it.
Y'all are really making me reassess my opinion on this first season.
That's what a good discussion does, right?
Right, it shapes all of our opinions.
Oh, so anyhow, yeah, promotional materials for season 3.
Michael, I feel like you're the best person for this.
I'm sorry, I'm having too many technical difficulties right now. I actually really liked the season 3 trailer that they released today, 10-4. 10-4. October 4th. Because I think this is coming out Monday. So that's probably an important thing to say the date. Anyways, I'm sorry, rambling. The trailer was very good, and it actually caught my eye, and it was like, ooh. So we'll see how it ends up. I might go watch season 2, or I might just skip it and just say, okay, I'm going to watch season 3 now.
So me and Colin basically did a reaction video right before the podcast. We watched it at the same time. And we had two completely different reactions.
Yes,
I loved
it. Did.
He sounded like he hated it. So it's probably just going to be more of the same for all we know.
I mean, hate's not the word I'd use. It's more like apathy. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it is what I have, because I still don't see anything to grab me or to entice me. But I can see if you were already like season Deadpool 1 and 2, like, you're going to be like, all right, cool, let's do this. So
not to spoil Defenders for Landon, but something happens at the end of Defenders that isn't being referenced in any of the Daredevil promotional material, and I'm wondering why.
I already know what happens, and no, this isn't going to be like Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah, I know what happens at the end of Defenders because somebody spoiled it on Twitter for me.
Yeah, great. So building falls on him, so we just got to ignore that?
And yeah.
I don't know why that was funny.
Unless you see the body and the body is actually on camera as dead, they likely survive.
Iron Fist literally becomes the protector of Hell's Kitchen after this. We're just going to ignore everything that happened at the end of that season.
My friend Jordan Gottlieb has a saying, there was no body. So, that's, I don't know. They'll probably have a cheap explanation like that.
I totally see Jordan doing his, you know, shrugging face like, there's no body.
Exactly.
What you gonna do?
Another Marvel character can't stay dead.
Of course not. There's money to be made. Come on.
I'm sure they'll explain it all eventually.
Now, I think unless somebody says that at this point in time, like Daredevil, like it would have to like jump to Jessica Jones level quality, I feel like, in order for me to come back and watch season three. And that would be after probably, I'd say at least 30 people tell me it's that kind of quality and would address those issues. So.
Where has this guy been? I like Jessica Jones too. Where have you been hiding him, Blandy?
I don't know.
Jessica Jones is the best thing Marvel has ever done.
Yes!
Sorry,
yes!
Best thing Marvel Studios has ever done. Since we're not counting Deadpool, since that's Fox.
I'm just glad Landon finally let you out of his basement.
I know. Did you guys already cover the Justice League or Suicide Squad? Because DC is my forte, and I will be happy to explain what the fuck went wrong with those movies.
That would require me having to watch Suicide Squad, and I'm not sure I'm keen on that.
If I had to watch Venom, you have to watch Suicide Squad. You owe me.
Oh, goodness. I have stepped in it now.
I think that I don't have anything else, really. Do you guys have anything else? I mean, I'm still surprised we won this easily. I'm kind of disappointed. Landon put up a bigger fight on Twitter 3 years ago. Like, seriously, man.
I'm disappointed because I still really like the first season. So,
here's a question. I was looking over my tweets. Did you ever check out Arrow Season 1?
No.
You haven't watched Arrow Season 1? Oh, Landon, we're going to fight. Come on.
Oh,
you got to watch it.
I'm watching Smallville Season 1 for you right now, and then Michael has me watching Avatar, so I have to watch
The Last Airbender or the Blue Skin Aliens?
Don't talk about Blue Skin Aliens.
The TV show.
Blue Skin Aliens?
The James Wonderful Cameron Aliens movie.
Show. Oh. That movie.
Now, by Landon, by Avatar, you mean Last Airbender movie. Or Last Airbender and Legend of Korra?
Oh, yeah, The Last Airbender.
You mean you're not watching both? Do we have to fight?
No, I'll eventually watch Korra. I just have to watch The Last Airbender first.
The only way I got Anna to watch Airbender was watching Legend of Korra.
Nice. Michael, I love how this turned into an Avatar The Last Airbender cast, a Daredevil cast turned into an Avatar cast.
I am here for it, man.
We're all scatterbrained tonight.
Give me enough time. I'm sure we can connect this to the Kennedy assassination. Hey, let's just keep going. All right, what's the next thing we want to take down? What are we feeling?
I already took down Tobey Maguire last week.
So help me if someone tries to touch Mist.
Oh, should I try to attack Mist?
I'm gonna have fighting words if you attack it.
Oh, Any other thoughts on Daredevil?
Ed and I would have put up a better argument if we watched season one and season two recently, but it's been like 2 years, so that's why we lost.
Sure.
You say that, but it's also been 2 years here.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, it's been a few years for me too. But we still won, and that's all that matters.
High five. Crap, this is radio. Or audio.
Hot take, the Stan Lee cameo in Daredevil is actually pretty clever. It's just a picture on the wall.
All right. And on that note, where can we find everyone on social media?
I'm at symbol Crazy Colin Kelly.
You can find me at MTJR_15 on Twitter, where I tweet maybe once a week now. So probably not worth a follow, but give it a shot anyway.
Hey, you're doing better than I am.
And you can find me on Twitter at TheBellMan. That's B-E-A-L-L, because my ancestors couldn't spell. And I'm also on Instagram and other social platforms as StoryBake. So check me out there.
You can find me at KGilstrap13 on Instagram and Twitter. That's KGILSTRAP with a 13 on the end. And you can find all of our podcasts on Anchor, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and many others. Under the name WBAM Entertainment. And all of our articles at WBAMEntertainment.com. Thanks for listening and have a great night.
Hey everyone, you've been listening to the WBAM Entertainment Podcast. Special thanks to Megan Gale for allowing us to use her wonderful cover of the Daredevil theme in our intro. Give her a follow on Twitter and subscribe to her YouTube channel at Megan Gale. For more on WBAM Entertainment, visit us on the web at WBAMEntertainment.com. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, simply at WBAMENT. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time.